unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, today I am going to talk about a topic that some feel should never be mentioned in church. It's a topic that's in the news every day by the politicians, by people at work, and by people in the media, by people from every walk of life. But if a pastor speaks on this particular topic, there are those who feel he is totally out of place. What's the topic that some suppose should never be mentioned in church? Money. Giving. Do you wish perhaps that you hadn't even come this morning? Well, stick around, because this is something I didn't dream up. It's in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus gives us this theme. Jesus observed visitors as they came to the temple treasury. Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." This particular story recorded here by the evangelist Luke was something that took place during the first Holy Week almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus had come to Jerusalem with his disciples to celebrate the last Old Testament Passover festivals. And earlier in that week, he had been teaching and preaching to the people in the temple and those who gathered there. And he was pleased, of course, when many came to the temple for the purpose, of course, of worshiping. On Tuesday of that Holy Week, we're told, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Together with his disciples, Jesus was sitting near the outward entrance of the temple area, opposite the temple treasury, where he observed the worshipers who had come to worship and then to bring their gifts to carry on the work of the Lord's church. In part, the Lord Jesus was upset, and in part, he was very pleased. He was pleased to see the people come for the purpose of worshiping, and he wanted the people to come for the right reason. He didn't want people to come to the temple just to make some kind of an appearance. In part, we have to remember that Jesus is telling us about a certain thing that is also a part of our worship, and that is the matter of giving. Jesus is reminding us here that we should always come to God's house for the right reason. It reminds us of an earlier time in the Savior's ministry when he spoke to a woman at Jacob's well, and she was asking, where is the proper place to come together for worship? And Jesus, of course, gave her an answer that it's not the place, but the purpose for which you gather, namely to hear the Word of God and to worship him. And Jesus gave us that familiar verse, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He doesn't want our worship to be only a matter of outward things, only a matter of the mouth or of the head, but our worship should be a matter of the heart and the soul. Our worship includes bringing our offerings or our gifts to carry on the work of the kingdom. Today's text tells us that Jesus is concerned about giving as a part of worship. On that particular day referred to in our text, he gave special attention to what the people were giving as they came to the temple. And immediately when they arrived, they put their contributions into the treasury box. Now, Jesus, being concerned about that, observed what all of them were doing, and he especially took note of the fact that many were very wealthy, and they gave much, as we are told in our text. They gave much of what they had. And then there was this poor widow who came there to the temple also to worship and to bring her gifts. And she threw into the treasury box two mites, which makes a quadrants, which is simply something that would amount to what we have today in a penny. Yes, Jesus was concerned not just about the amount, but the purpose. And this poor widow gave her whole livelihood. The Apostle James warns us that when we come to God's house, we should not give special attention to people who only give a great deal. The Apostle James tells us, if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you sit there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into their courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name, Christian, by which you are called? If you really fulfill the law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Here we are all reminded to be very considerate of the people who come for worship, and we should never be partial in our judgment or show certain preference because of what the person gives or does or speaks or anything like that. No, Jesus was looking at something else. He was looking at the heart. Why do we come to worship? Why do we bring our gifts for worship? And the whole purpose centers around we want to do the will of God. As Jesus observed those who came to the temple and gave their gifts, he saw that poor widow. And we are told in our text that she simply cast in two mites. The amount really was very, very little. For that two mites, which amounted to about a penny, and here remember that the mites were copper coins. The other coins were coins of silver and gold. This was just common, ordinary copper. Now, that little bit that she gave really wasn't enough even to keep one candle burning very long. And it certainly wouldn't provide things for those who were working in the temple. It was almost useless, as we would say. After watching for a while, Jesus called his disciples privately together. He had seen enough, and he wanted them to learn a special lesson, which of course they needed to learn also, to look at why people are coming for worship, and that the purpose for worship is to give all glory to God, who has blessed us with all of the material things that we have. And above all, he has blessed us by calling us to faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he reminded the disciples of the purpose. And the widow came for the proper purpose. Many of the others were giving out of the abundance that they possessed. And that wasn't the important point. Jesus didn't only observe what they were doing outwardly, but he looked into the heart of the givers. And here we remember that saying, the gift without the giver is bare. It has to come from a heart that is touched by the love of our Lord for us. Sitting opposite the temple treasury, he saw that there were those who gave great gifts, and he acknowledged that. But many of them were doing it simply out of hypocrisy, giving of their abundance. No, it's not of our abundance, but it is on the basis of why we are doing what we are doing. The amount isn't the most important thing. The purpose. I am giving to the Lord who first gave all things to me. He gives us all of the temporal blessings that we enjoy. And then he gives us his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And for that, you can't state any price at all. That gives us the assurance of the life that now is and of the life that is to come. We must remind ourselves that every phase of our worship should be a matter of the heart. We shouldn't just go through certain motions and make sure we're reading the right thing at the right time, or using the right words at the right time, or going through certain motions at the right time. No, we should remember, why have we come to God's house? Why do we gather together? To fulfill what our Lord wants us to fulfill, to show our love for him who first loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus was also taking issue with many of those who were giving of their great amount. And actually, if you look at this particular text very carefully, then it isn't just as it normally reads, but rather they were giving not just of their abundance, but they were giving leftovers. Or, as one translator puts it, they were giving simply what they could spare. Well, living on the basis of what you can spare or what are just leftovers, there really isn't much left over. And in our economic society in which we live, who can even at times make ends meet? Here we look to our Lord to touch our hearts and to move us out of love for him to do everything that is included with our worship, and then we will have the Lord's blessing. The amount that poor widow gave, we could say today, that amounted like giving a penny. Well, a penny, what can you buy for a penny? You wonder why they're still even coining pennies. because you can't buy anything for a penny. And this poor woman was so poor that she had so little, and yet she came to the temple and put in, as we're told in our text, her livelihood. That's all she had left. Early on, I said that the observation that Jesus made on that first Tuesday was really changed by Thursday of that week. Thursday of that week, the Lord Jesus was betrayed by one of his disciples. And on Friday, he gave all. He suffered and died on Calvary's cross. And what a price he paid to redeem you and me. The price that he paid washed away all of our sins, so that now we can come to his house and worship with joy when we see how much he loved us and what a price he paid in order to redeem us. Jesus looked out over that mocking multitude of that weekend. And of course he saw, and you will all remember, how he took that special look to the Apostle Peter, who denied him three times and said he never knew who Jesus was. What was Peter's problem? Peter had a heart problem at that particular point. His faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior had disappeared. And then there was that whole multitude out there at the foot of the cross crying out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." He saved others, himself he cannot save. And Jesus saw that mocking multitude. And what was their problem? They had a faith and heart problem. And it's still that way today. Even with reference to our giving, if we do not give what glorifies God, we have a heart or a faith problem. Yes, many churches in our day do have financial problems. Thank God that we have been blessed that we don't have a financial problem. But there are those that simply can hardly make ends meet. The story is told of a congregation that was having great financial difficulties. And one of the ladies wrote to a man by the name of Horace Greeley, who was an American editor and a politician, and complained of their inability to make ends meet. She says, "We've tried everything. We've tried banquets, bazaars, and bingo, and picnics, and strawberry festivals, and necktie sales, and we still can't make ends meet." And then she asked Horace Greeley, "What in the world should we try next?" And he answered very briefly, "Try religion." Yes, try the Word of God, who, of course, tells us, "Give, and it will be given unto you." Why do we really give for the work of the church? Just to support some special program or project? Not if we really are Christians. If we are Christians, we give out of love. Love for our Lord, who loved us so much that he paid the tremendous price so that you and I can go on our way rejoicing in the fact we have a Savior who's fulfilled the law of God in our place, who took all the sins of all people upon himself, carried it all to Calvary's cross. And while people were mocking, what was he doing? He was praying for them out there, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, our Lord sees and knows not just what we do, but why we do it. And he speaks to us also through the hymn writer, I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. Great gifts I brought to thee. What hast thou brought to me? Amen. And the peace of God strengthen and increase the faith of each of us to give unto the Lord as he gives unto us. Amen.